We're back here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Paul Dottino, and the man in the middle is Rob Rang. Of course, he's a friend of the program, does an excellent job, NFLDraftScout.com. Rob is as good of a knowledge of this draft class as anyone in this building today, including the guys that are breaking it down for the NFL teams. Rob, let's first start. First of all, thanks for joining us. Measurements, we've had them yesterday and today. Anybody draw any big red flags to you? Anybody overperform where you think they would be? Any big impact measurements over the last couple of days that we should be aware of?
Well, I think the one player that you have to mention would be the Maryland wide receiver, DJ Moore. He came in at 6 foot, 210 pounds. That is taller and thicker than we anticipated.
Yeah, I think he was at 5'10 in Maryland, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Usually it's the exact opposite that happens, is you see players that wind up coming in a little bit smaller than expected. You know, there's been some big news as far as the quarterbacks. In the years past, we've seen all this hand-wringing, so to speak, about the hand size of quarterbacks. But this year, whether it be Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, everybody came in with getting to that threshold of the nine and a quarter inch hands. And so because of that, there's not going to be the concern this year. And the fact that there is no news there is news in and of itself.
Let me ask you about the measurements, Rob. Of all the different positions, which position do you think pays the most attention to the measurements?
I think it's probably going to be quarterbacks and the hand size. Certainly at the offensive line positions, if you have a tackle, say Texas's Connor Williams, who is my personal top-rated offensive tackle, and he came in with 33-inch arms. It's a little bit shorter than you'd like, 296 pounds, a little bit lighter than you'd like. And so because of those factors, I think that that also can be a significant factor. So quarterbacks, offensive linemen, I think, are the two critical positions.
See, the tricky part for me is that we know that a lot of these prospects – go into combine training
yes.
to get whatever numbers that they want to get and present to the NFL teams. But then you got the pro days coming up after that, which I know for a fact a lot of scouts will say, that's what I'm really concerned about, not so much the combine stuff.
No, exactly, especially like in the case of a Sam Darnold, who is elected not to throw here. You have a lot of times you have the skill position players who will weigh in heavier than expected because they're not planning on working out here. They're planning on just getting on the scale or measuring up, and then as you mentioned, they go with their pro day and suddenly they lose 8 or 10 pounds because it's all water weight. You know, so that's why I think that it is important to keep that in mind when you're looking at the measurements. How do they weigh in here at the combine? How do they weigh in at their pro day? And if they went to one of those senior all-star games, what is the differentiation between those three different events for those senior prospects?
And Rob, one guy I want to bring up on the measurement side, and this is the last thing we'll do on the measurements, Quentin Nelson. Mm-hmm. His arm length was almost good enough, it looked like, to play tackle. And considering how dominant he was as guard, when he went to Notre Dame, he was going to be a tackle until they realized, oh, we got Ronnie Stanley and Mike McGlinchey here. We can just put him at guard and be fine. Is this a guy that you think can transfer to either right or maybe even left tackle at some point in the NFL if an NFL team wants to go down that route?
I think that he has the athletic ability to be able to pull that off. I just believe that he's a walk-in Pro Bowl guard. And if you're going to ask him to make that transition, obviously at left tackle, you're going to be going against some of the speed rushers in the NFL. You're going to ask him to play on the right side. He hasn't played the right side since back in high school. So because of those factors, I still think that the smart money would be to keep him inside at guard where, again, I think he can make more of an immediate impact for your team. And frankly, gentlemen, I think that we're seeing in today's NFL, guards are much more important than they were just a few years ago.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why the Philadelphia Eagles and some of the other teams, the Rams, some of the teams that kind of jumped up this season is because of their interior pass rush. And so when you have quarterbacks who either do not have great natural elusive skills or that in the short passing game in today's modern passing era, then that interior pass rush is every bit as important as the exterior pass rushers.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the guards, Rob, and I want to go back to that for a second because Dave Gettleman, the Giants GM, spoke about that yesterday saying, you know what, guards are worth what they get paid because you need them to block that pass rush, keep your quarterback clean. But here's the thing. It used to be, and he talks about hog mollies.
Mm-hmm.
George Young used to talk about the elephants,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing the big dance. Over the course of time, we have seen technique-oriented guards,
mm-hmm.
guys who ran the outside zone scheme, who had to have quick feet, who had to be able to get to the edge to block for the running backs. Do you think there's going to be a trend now more towards the gigantic elephant type of guards as opposed to those technique guys?
I think that there will be a bit of a trend in that way, because I think that the way that the NFL is trending is to be a short passing game, and to be able to get the ball out of the hands of the quarterback as quickly as possible. And if you have these massive elephant style offensive linemen, then it just gives you that initial protection. And I don't know that you're going to see quite as much of the running game that is a function of, say, the zone blocking schemes and things like that. The NFL passed a rule a couple of years ago where offensive linemen weren't allowed to kind of cut block at the second level the way that they have in the past. And so because of that, you're taking away some of those offensive linemen that are more technically sound than they are physically massive. And so I think that is just going to pump up the value of some of those guards. If you look around the league, the guards who are getting those multi-million dollar deals are the ones who are the 6'5", 330-pound, 340-pound monsters. And so that's why I think that it fits in very well for a player like Quentin Nelson, who already has that type of size.
Rob, we're going to try to focus in on some defensive guys with you. But first, let's get to the elephant in the room, the Giants, the second overall, obviously. we'll hit that first, and then we'll get to some of the deeper guys on the defensive side. If the Giants decide to go quarterback and Darnold's off the board, how do you rate through the rest of the guys on your list? And do you think, and just in terms of value, how does that compare to going with the Chubb or Barkley or even a Quentin Nelson type?
Yeah, to me, it really comes down to the individual team. For the Giants specifically, because you have a future Hall of Famer in Eli Manning, that you believe that he's going to be able to be healthy and he's going to be able to play every game, then I think that Josh Rosen should be a consideration, because he is my number two quarterback. He's the player that I think that of this rookie class can come in and make the most immediate impact, because he's the most polished passer of the group. That said, I think that he also has some questions. I heard you guys mention before about the leadership concerns. He does have a little bit more of a frail frame. The medical concerns, the fact that in his three seasons at UCLA, two of them he didn't finish the season.
Yeah.
And so because of all those factors, that I don't know that it makes a lot of sense. When you already have a young quarterback on the roster in Davis Webb, then it doesn't make a lot of sense, in my opinion, to go with a quarterback who has that immediate impact potential but maybe doesn't have quite the upside of, say, a quarterback like a Josh Allen. So for the Giants specifically, I think a quarterback like Josh Allen would make some sense, because he has the highest upside, if that's the option that you chose to go with. I still think that for the Giants, maybe a possibility of a more immediate impact, whether it be a defender, whether it be Saquon Barkley, I think those are the kind of players that can help the Giants go from a season that, frankly, at 3-13, I think was a fluke. I think it was more about injuries, and that once the Giants have a little bit more consistency in terms of health, if they can get an immediate impact player at two, and let's face it, you should. The guys mentioned the fact that a couple of years ago when they had that number two overall pick, they had great Lawrence Taylor at number two. They had Carl Banks at number three overall. I think that's the type of immediate impact player that you're looking for.
Let me ask you this, Rob. I think we're all pretty sure, pretty confident, there's no linebacker worth taking at number two overall. But the Giants clearly need to refortify their linebacking core, because, let's face it, they haven't done very well lately, and they got a lot of free agents there. There are three or four, I think, first-round linebackers probably in this draft. Would they have to maybe make a deal to get back up into the end of that first round with one of their extra picks, like the compensatory, to maybe get one of those guys? Would you see a good fit there?
I do. And one of the linebackers who I think would be an exceptional fit would be Leighton Vander Esch. And he's a quarterback who I think that might be on your list of the three to four linebackers who might be able to make that first round. And I just like his instincts. I like that his toughness. He's obviously coming from a very small program, relatively speaking, at Boise State. And he was a kid that grew up in in rural Idaho. And so that would be a transition from just moving to New York City, of course. But at the same time,
can he cover?
He can, and that's one of the things that's why I believe that he would be a fit. To me, the other linebackers you're talking about are Roquan Smith, easy first-round pick, Tremaine Edwards from Virginia Tech, easy first-round pick. Leighton Vander Esch is a player that is moving up. I think he's going to be terrific this week at the Combine, and I think that the Giants, if they did decide they want him, might have to trade up in that late portion of the first round, but he might be available just because there's going to be so many teams who are going to go for those quarterbacks that there's going to be some darn good football players who are going to slide into the top portion of the second round.
Could Evans be a late 20?
I think he could. And Rashawn Evans is a good player. He's not the same type caliber of athlete as a Vander Esch. And so that's one of the reasons why a guy like Rashawn Evans, I think that you're getting an immediate plug-and-play kind of a guy who has the physicality looking for to be able to solidify the run defense. I don't know that he has the same coverage skills. I don't believe that he does have the same coverage skills as what Vander Esch provides, and that's why I think that Vander Esch should be a better fit in big, for Big Blue.
If you're looking for a speed linebacker, but you're not using a first or second-round pick on him, and you're waiting until third round, maybe even, you know, start of the fourth, with the Giants pick at the top of the fourth round, they have also have an extra compensatory pick at the end of the fourth round. Any speed guys that you think will be left on the board at that point, or if you want one, you better get one first couple rounds?
Well, I certainly think that the fastest linebackers you're going to want to go early. You know, they're going to go early just because we've seen the way that the NFL is changing now. But at the same time, I got a name for you that I think is going to impress some people in terms of his workouts, and that he is going to be listed as a day three pick for a lot of people. And so I think that he has a potential future NFL starter on him, and that'd be Azeem Victor from the University of Washington. And he was suspended for a late portion of his senior season this past year, but at the same time, he was a starter early in his career. He was a standout for Washington. He was an All-Pac-12 player. He's instinctive. He's very physical, and he does have enough athletic ability to be able to play back in space. So he is a guy that if the team is a little bit willing to do some their due diligence in terms of character, questions about that kind of stuff, then I think that they're going to find that Azeem Victor is a player who can play in the NFL, and you might be able to draft him, say, in the fourth, fifth, sixth round and still be able to have a potential starter.
Where would you slot Shaquem Griffin with one hand?
Shaquem Griffin it's hard to believe until you watch this kid on tape. He is a terrific football player. I mean, everybody wants to talk about the story, you know, one hand. But, you know, as a former coach myself, one of the things I used to try and ask offensive linemen to try and do is to be able to grab the linebackers. And if they get their hands on you, then you grab their wrists. And so that way you can pull them down to the ground. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with Shaquem Griffin not having a left hand, then you're not able to grab his wrist. And so his ability to punch offensive linemen and get off of blocks, it's something that you wouldn't really appreciate until you watch it on tape. And he also is incredibly instinctive, incredibly agile, as a former safety. And so because of all those factors, I think that he does absolutely have a place in the NFL, not just as a special teams demon, but as a potential starter in the NFL. And we were talking about linebackers that might be available on day three. Shaquem Griffin is one of the very first players I thought of. And so he's a great story. I mean, Hallmark should take note. They're going to make a movie about this kid someday. But he's also a very good football player who has the personality. He has the toughness. I think all those different factors that you have to have if you're going to play in a big market like New York City.
How about the cornerback position? I'm taking a look at a lot of these guys, and Rob, you don't see a lot of like 6'3 and 6'2 corners running around. A lot like the wide receivers. You got a bunch of slot receivers and a bunch of corners that know how to cover slot receivers, a bunch of guys that are between 5'11 and 5'10 and 6'. How deep do you think the corner class is? And if you're looking for a corner, how high do you think you'd have to go? Is there going to be a good one available in that 3, 4, 5th round range?
No, I think there are some good corners. Very few of them have the size, as you mentioned. I mean, this is a cornerback class. It's full of guys who are in that 5'10", 5'11 range. I personally believe in what the Giants already have in the fold. I mean, obviously the Eli Apple situation, but, you know, I am encouraged by what I've heard so far about Eli Apple and about what Janoris Jenkins can do. And so I believe that while that is a position of concern for the Giants, I think that there's enough depth at this year's draft class at corner that you might be able to find a player. Isaiah Oliver is one from Colorado who is a guy who immediately jumps out at me as a player that isn't getting quite as much attention as perhaps he should. He was a little bit overshadowed by some of the defensive backs with the Buffaloes two years ago, but this past season he was even better. And so he is a guy. But if you're looking for cornerbacks in this class that have size, you're probably going to have to invest a late first round pick, which obviously we require trading back up, or early second round pick. It's not a great class that way. Josh Jackson, from Iowa would probably be the best of the corners who has size, but I expect him to be off the board in the top 45 picks.
John, I'm going to go safety because I think that with Betcher as the new defensive coordinator, the safety, especially the guy who plays some pseudo linebacker stuff, mm-hmm. is going to be a big deal for him. He's very fluid with how he plays his guys. I don't see the Giants taking a safety in the first or second round. But could there be a guy who would help that kind of scheme in the third or fourth round?
In this draft class, I think this isn't a great safety class, in my opinion. I think that you're going to see guys like Harrison from Alabama who are going to wind up going early. Obviously, the Florida State kid, Derwin James. But I just don't see the safeties in this class that are going to make a lot of sense in the third or fourth round. They're going to be that immediate plug-and-play kind of a guy. If there was one, we mentioned Tremaine Edmonds, that Terrell Edmonds, his younger brother, is a player who does have that size and physicality. I used the comparison before to another ex-Virginia Tech player, Seattle's Cam Chancellor, and Chancellor was a perfect fit for Pete Carroll's scheme.
Right.
But that's that type of intimidating factor that you're talking about that I think that would make some sense. And again, because he has the experience playing Virginia Tech, a very physical, very aggressive defense, I think that would be a potential fit, likely to be available in about the third round.
Rob, we'll take a call with you in a second, but I want to get a question about the defensive line, because Dave Gettleman has not been camouflaging at all his history of drafting defensive linemen. He's done it a lot. He has guys on the roster. He drafted Vernon Butler anyway. He didn't care. What do you think of this defensive line class, and if the Giants want to go there, like I said, again, middle rounds, who are some of the prospects, either as a pass rusher or as a three technique, that they might be looking at? Because they already have those two big run stuffers in the middle in Tomlinson and Snacks Harrison.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very good defensive tackle class. I mean, this is the edge rushers are not quite so good. Bradley Chubb is the one that everybody's going to talk about, and he's a superstar. I think that he should be a consideration for most teams in the top five, perhaps not the Giants, just because, again, if you get a little bit more of a return to health from Vernon and from Jason Pierre-Paul, then I don't think that's going to be quite as much concern.
Right.
But your point is well made that Dave Gettleman has relied on the hog mollies on the offensive and defensive side throughout his entire career. In this defensive tackle class, one of the guys that I would mention is Kentavious Street. He was another player while at NC State. Everybody's focusing on Bradley Chubb, but Street is a guy who's going to work out incredibly well this week. And he is a guy that you see flashes. He played some defensive end. He played some defensive tackle at NC State. Went to the East-West Shrine game. I had one scout tell me that he was far and away the best player there. 6'2", 275, 280 pounds, so he doesn't have that elite size that you're looking for. But that's the type of players who I think are becoming more and more important in today's NFL. We talked about how teams are looking for those pass rushers who can get and make an impact in the interior.
Yeah.
He can do that, so I think that he'd be a fit for the Giants.
One quick call for Rob Rang. Let's go to Justin in New Jersey. He has a question about the draft. Justin, go ahead for Rob.
Hey. I just have a suggestion for free agency and the draft.
Only the draft, Justin. Just give me the draft.
All right, yeah, okay. Some people don't look at a guy that I consider to be a sleeper, and that is Billy Price from Ohio State. I think he could be a good fit for us. We could switch him around in the offensive line teams with the offensive coordinator. A lot of people don't see him as a top offensive lineman, but I think we could look at him and Quentin Nelson and the guy from Mississippi State ranking. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, you know, we talked a ton about Nelson, but I think Price, center, guard, flex, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what do you think of Martinez Rankin? We actually haven't talked a lot about him so far on the show this week.
Yeah, well, first off, Billy Price, other than Quentin Nelson, Billy Price remains my top-rated interior offensive lineman in this draft class. James Daniels from Iowa is another one. He is more of that agile player we talked about before, mm-hmm. the guys who can get to the second level. Billy Price is a nasty football player, and I mean that with the greatest of compliments. His versatility, his ability to play center, play guard, do it both at a high level, the physicality. Now, he isn't the big mauling type we talked about before that I think is going to become more popular. 6'2", 300 pounds, a little bit shorter arms, but his physicality, his toughness, his durability. This is a two-time All-American for an Ohio State team that's known for producing immediate impact offensive linemen. So I think he's about as safe as you can get. So sleeper maybe in terms of media coverage, because let's face it, not many interior offensive linemen get that kind of hype. But at the same time, he is very well known in the scouting community as being a guy that you can go to battle with from day one. With Martinez Rankin, he's an athletic tackle. He is a guy that has that size and that physicality that I think that the Giants and other clubs are going to be looking for. The question with him is he a true left tackle? Well, I think that his best position would be kind of be a swing guy for a team that perhaps has some holes all across the board. They want to draft a player and then see where he fits in best with that current group. I think that's where Martinez Rankins fits in best, and he's probably in that right outside the top 50, probably in that top 64 to top 75 selection.
Rob, great stuff, my friend. Always good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Rob.